Music is something that is loved by many, many people, and I am included in that. I am definitely the type of person who has music playing constantly. I play it on my drive to school each day. I play it the moment that I get into my classroom. I play it the moment that I start grading papers. I play it when I'm cooking, when I'm working out. Like, I am constantly surrounded by music, and I'm wondering if you fall into that same category. Interestingly, I find that students are obsessed with music as well. And we might not always agree on what our favorite songs are. We might not always like the same artists. But I think one thing that myself and students can agree on is, like, music motivates us. Music moves us. Music is one of those really mysterious things that causes us to learn in ways that maybe we didn't see possible. And so I think leveraging music for learning is a really powerful, underutilized teaching tool. So let me just ask you, when was the last time that you used music to your advantage in a lesson, in an activity, in a project? If your answer is never, no worries. I've got an idea to totally help you. If your answer is, oh, Monica, I use music all the time, awesome. I wonder if you've ever used it in the way that I'm about to describe. Lyrics, artists, pop culture. How can we create meaningful moments using music? That's what we're going to dive into in today's episode. There is awesome in every single school day. Here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. Can we start with a very transparent moment? I was obsessed with music at a very early age. Did I potentially run a burning CD empire out of my book bag as a Matt Toon Wildcat in seventh grade? Yes, I did. Okay. Like, I knew my way around LimeWire. I knew my way around how to rip music from the web and, like, sell it to kids over a tater tot. All right, maybe burning CDs was my very first business venture. But as I look back on some of those CDs that I was burning and look back on some of the songs that I was listening to, and quite frankly, I'm alarmed by the vulgarity of some of these lyrics and some of these songs. Like, I never really pulled up the lyrics to these songs until recently. And I'm looking at some Nelly songs. And I'm not talking about Nelly Furtado, like, I'm like a bird, I wanna fly away. Okay, was that on a CD that I burnt? Yes. But I'm talking about some of the Nelly, like St. Louis Nelly, like Nelly the Rapper lyrics that I knew every single word. Like, I could freestyle rap in my middle school cafeteria. And now I'm looking at those words as a 30-something-year-old adult teacher, and I'm like, what is happening? Why did my mom let me listen to that? Why were those songs allowed to be played at school dances? They're filthy, okay? That is wildly inappropriate. But I, to this day, could sing so many inappropriate songs by DMX, Ludacris, Luda, right? Like, Lord. But let's take that and flip it around. How many songs, as an adult, do I hear on the radio and I'm like, skip, not listening to that one, skip, ooh, don't like how that one sounds, skip? I literally purchase Pandora Premium. Does that age me? Yes, it does. Because everyone else is like, you buy Pandora? You're not on Spotify? I'm not on Spotify. I'm not on Apple Music. I buy Pandora Premium because I want unlimited skips because I am very picky. I'm picky and I'm skippy because I give songs about 5 seconds. And if I don't like it, moving on. But do you know what I miss out on? Some really great songs. Because when I was a kid, I heard the beat and I'm like, I like the song based off of the beat. I don't know what the song is saying. I don't know what these lyrics mean, but I like the sound of the song. Therefore, I like the song. I'm kind of challenging myself and my students to do the opposite of that. What if we really listened to lyrics of songs? What if we really sat down and said, listen, it doesn't matter what the genre is. It doesn't matter who the artist is. Can we just take a hot second and look at these lyrics? Really focus on these lyrics and find out, like, what's the meaningful message behind the music? And that can turn into a powerful lesson. Let me explain what I mean by that. Literally, this week in my classroom, kids were hating on a song. And I kind of agreed with them. The song is actually, ironically, it's the 2024 Song of the Year. Well, it won Grammy for Song of the Year in 2024. But it was Miley Cyrus's Flowers. And if you've never heard that song, it's like, I can buy myself flowers. It's like a little poppy anthem. It's not too jazzy. It's not, it's just a real cute song. I would describe it as a cute song. But I'm not a huge Miley Cyrus vocalist fan. I think Miley Cyrus, I mean, she's Hannah Montana, okay? How can you not like Hannah Montana? How can you not like her father, Billy Ray Cyrus, right? I mean, achy breaky heart, Lord. But I'm not one to keep a Miley Cyrus song playing because her vocal style just isn't really my style. So the song Flowers came up in my seventh grade advisory class. And I just asked the kids, how many of you believe that that should have been Song of the Year? It won a Grammy, literally the largest prize that you can get for music. It won a Grammy for Song of the Year. And I didn't have a single seventh grader in that class like that song. They were all hating on it. Not a single kid was like, that song is a jam. That song is a bop, as the kids say these days. So then I thought, Monica, this is an opportunity right here. You've got an entire class of seventh graders who are basically judging this book by a cover. We say don't judge a book by its cover, but we look at the artwork and we're like, nope, I'm not reading it. When if we would just read that dust cover, if we would just open the dust cover or read the back of the book to give a little summary, we might be intrigued. I think music is really similar. What if we gave that song more than 10 seconds? And even if we're not country music fans, or even if we're not Miley Cyrus fans, or even if we're not fans of that particular genre or that group, that we just said, you know what? I'm gonna read these lyrics. I'm gonna really listen to these lyrics and see if there's something that I can learn from this song. So that's exactly what I did. For my advisory lesson that day, we did a song study. Now, I'm saying for my advisory lesson, I have a daily middle school advisory for both seventh graders and eighth graders. They come to my class on a daily basis for life, college, and career readiness skills. And in this case, this was a great opportunity to talk about bias in music, to talk about how we judge things maybe unfairly. This was an opportunity to have a great conversation, maybe a debate. And that's exactly what happened. Because I had zero kids saying Miley Cyrus's song should have won the Grammy. I agreed. That's not a good song. Anti-Hero by Taylor Swift should have won Song of the Year. But I pulled up a lyric video. So if you're not familiar with a lyric video, it's just an opportunity to look at the lyrics. It's almost like a karaoke video, but the artist is still singing. Oftentimes, music videos are super, super inappropriate, and people are like not clothed, or there's like a lot of drinking or scandalous things happening. So again, I watched TRL, Total Request Live on MTV during my entire childhood. And as I watched those music videos, I'm like, oh my God. But nonetheless, I'm not showing music videos. I'm showing lyric videos. And we just played the song. And I asked students a really important question. At the end of this, I want you to pick out one lyric that stood out. Stood out because you liked the lyric, stood out because you disliked the lyric, stood out because you didn't understand the lyric, stood out because you thought the lyric was like really good or really confusing. But I want you to just listen to this song and take away your bias on if you don't like pop music or if you don't like Miley Cyrus. Like, let's just dive into this song together. And at the end of the song, when I hit stop, I had hands shooting up into the air with kids being like, I've got something to say. I've got something to say. And I absolutely loved it. And at one point, a girl was talking about how she had a favorite lyric. And a kid said, that lyric is overrated. And I'm like, now time out. We often say this in life. What do you mean by overrated? They're like, that lyric is overrated, just like Taylor Swift. Swift is overrated. And then I teach. This is a middle school class. This is seventh grade girls. I got Swifties who like nearly lost their mind. And I thought, what a great opportunity to show these girls like everyone's opinion matters. But we need to be able to back up our opinion. And we need to be able to disagree. And we need to be able to hear each other's opinions and maybe agree to disagree or maybe sway somebody's opinion. But this kid is like, Taylor Swift is overrated. And the girls like literally lost their mind. They're like, what are you talking about? When was the last time you even listened to Taylor Swift? You can't just say she's overrated. And so then it was this whole thing. And I said, now, slow your roll, lady. He's allowed to say Taylor Swift is overrated. But let's ask an appropriate W question to better understand. And she said, I'm sorry. And she looked at the kid and said, when was the last time that you listened to Taylor Swift? And the kid said, I hate country music. That's why I hate Taylor Swift. And another girl said, I think you probably were judging her by her first cover of her album, and she was a country music artist. Have you listened to any of her new albums? And the kid was like, no. And the boys in the cast were like, bro, then you can't say that. Come on. You can't say that then. And it was this really interesting dynamic because the kid realized, oh, I misspoke. And guess what? That's okay. It is okay for kids to misspeak. It is okay for kids to say something that they don't really mean. As long as we are equipping them with strategies and solutions and situations to know how to approach it. So at one point, I had a student bust out their Chromebook and say, let me give you some recommendations of songs. Like, what type of music do you like? And the kid said what he liked. And she said, okay, I know all of Taylor Swift's songs. And she like literally made a list of songs that the kid could listen to because he was saying, I don't like country music. So therefore, Taylor Swift is overrated. Then we started to digress a little bit because we went from the song Flowers by Miley Cyrus to talking about Taylor Swift, but that's okay. In life and in these lessons, especially in advisory or morning meeting or SEL lessons, it is okay to digress. It is okay to have the no plan plan as long as we have a framework of where we want to start and where we want to end. And so then we started talking about some of these Flowers lyrics. And one of the lyrics was, I can hold my own hand. And a kid raised their hand and they're like, I don't understand. Who holds their own hand? That's weird. Why would anyone want to hold their own hand? And the kid said, I don't know if she literally means hold your own hand. So then we had a great conversation of what does that mean? What would that mean to you can hold your own hand? You can buy yourself flowers. You can take yourself dancing. You can write your own name in the sand. Like, what do you think Miley is even trying to say there? And then all of a sudden, the kids are like, whoa, is this just about like, you don't need a man in your life? And I'm like, it could be that, but I don't think it has to be. So let's take about, let's remove the relationship. Let's say that like Miley's not writing this about some ex-boyfriend. What else could this mean? And another student raised their hand and said, is it just about like being independent and like feeling good about who you are? Like, you don't need somebody to buy you flowers, buy yourself flowers. You don't need somebody else to go dance with you. Like, go dance yourself. And kids started to get it. And it was absolutely awesome. And then a girl raised her hand and she said, Ms. Jensa, can I tell you about a time that like somebody needed to buy flowers? And I was like, all right. And she told me about this social media video that was posted and how the haters were coming out and they were making fun of a pair of shoes. And all of these people were like hating on this pair of shoes because they weren't Nikes. They were like an off-brand Nike. And people were like, those are cheap. Those are knockoffs. And she's like, I like the shoes. I didn't really care. I felt good about them. And I'm like, yes, boom, girl, buy yourself flowers. Like, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you do you. You own it. If you love it, like, who cares what other people think? And then a boy raised his hand. He's like, you know, it's kind of like being at an amusement park. And I said, tell me more. He's like, if I was at an amusement park with my friends, and I wanted to ride this roller coaster, but my friends didn't want to ride the roller coaster, I think I'd still ride it. Because, like, in that moment, I want to go have fun. Like, I don't need somebody to hold my hand through this. I can go and ride the roller coaster. And I'm like, boom, that's what's up. That's you buying yourself flowers. That's you saying, I've got this. I can be independent. And by the end of it, kids were giving all of these examples, and you know what kind of unfolded? This like class mantra of, yep, that's you buying yourself flowers. That's you buying yourself flowers, which was code for that's you doing what you need to do to be you. That's you saying, I don't need somebody to go to the bathroom with me. I can just go to the bathroom by myself. That's you saying like, I really want to go to the basketball game tonight, but nobody will go with me. That's you saying like, but you know what? I'm still going to go to the basketball game because I think it would be fun. This all started with a song that was school appropriate, that I knew was school appropriate. And I started with a conversation question of, how many of you know the song Flowers by Miley Cyrus? And how do you feel about it? And then I just guided the conversation using some important conversation prompts. The starting point, I knew because I had that planned out. The end point was I wanted to prove to kids that there are some powerful lyrics in the song, even though we don't like it. And what can we learn? And we learned a lot about like owning who you are and being comfortable with who you are. And if your friends don't always like that, that's okay. If society doesn't always like it, that's okay. We learned so many great things. And I'm telling you, the class period flew by. This entire conversation unfolded in like 40 minutes and it flew by. Because kids were interested. Because kids love music. Kids are interested in this. And so what do we do when kids are interested in something? We leverage it for learning. And friends, this is one Miley Cyrus song. There are approximately 1 bajillion songs on the planet. Not all of those are school appropriate. So I'm going to cut the 1 bajillion songs to approximately, let's just say, 250,000 appropriate songs for school, depending on the age group that you teach. Because I think sometimes there are clean songs. But my motto on a clean song is if there's a clean song, there's probably a dirty version of that song too. So I kind of try to avoid those. Like, music is awesome. And I try to do something with music on Tuesdays. I call it Take a Listen Tuesdays. It's just something that I try to incorporate into my advisory / social and emotional learning class. At the high school level, this class that I teach is called self-management. It literally doesn't matter what you call it. Because what it is creating conversation, creating empathy, creating connection with kids. And sometimes we just have to have intentional plans to do that. And that's why I love music. That's why I think music can motivate students, and then we can leverage that for learning. So that's a simple idea. that you can try with your kids. Now, sometimes what people say to me is, Monica, yes, I don't know if I'd be able to generate that kind of conversation with my students. And I get that. Please know, like, I understand. Sometimes people are like, I don't even know what song I would pick. I'm not sure what discussion questions I would ask. I totally get that it doesn't always feel natural for all teachers. There are definitely some situations that I am not good at in the field of education. I am a very, very awkward, get into groups of three and work on a project with your colleagues kind of person. I'm awkward at that. I am very, very awkward. I am not a good, like, group project kind of person when your full faculty is there. Because I'm like, I don't really know these people. And I know that doesn't really matter because we can all work together. But, like, I get awkward, okay? So, know that that's me being vulnerable. So, if you're listening to this being like, I would never be able to pull that kind of stuff from my students, I think you could. I really do. But the good news is if you need like a roadmap, if you need help, if you just feel like you need some structure, if you need some of the details planned out, then I do have something called 180 Days of Awesome SEL. It's 180 fully planned social and emotional learning lessons that you can use in your advisory, your morning meeting, your homeroom time, your self-management class. Like, these lessons can totally flip your classroom dynamic in a really positive way. And the good news is they're fully planned. The songs are linked. The conversation starters are there. The activities are there. Everything is fully finished for you. And as of last year, now there are multiple versions of this. So if you're listening to the This Teacher Life episode right now and you're an elementary teacher, I have elementary version of 180 Days of Awesome SEL with songs that are appropriate for your age group. If you teach middle school or high school, I have a completely separate curriculum of 180 Days of Awesome SEL that literally works with your age group of kids. And the cool thing about it is sometimes we just need that guide. We need that reassurance. We need that template in front of us that says, like, all you got to do is click that link. All you have to do is ask this question, because I've tried every single one of the lessons within that curriculum that I wrote, and I know that it works. So that's why I included it. So, music. If you are that teacher who loves inappropriate, just nasty rap music, I love you for that. Don't play that in your classroom, though. If you are that teacher who's like, I prefer silence, I am never listening to music. I've got friends like that, too. I'm like, what kind of music are you listening to these days? And they're like, I don't really listen to music. I'm like, what? How do you not listen to music? They're like, I just, whatever's on the radio is fine with me. If you are that laid back, if you're like, whatever's on the radio is fine with me, good for you, because I am picky. So I love that you just, you know, are cool with everything. It doesn't matter to me what kind of music you like or dislike or how many hours per day you are streaming Spotify. What does matter is we as teachers want to connect with kids. And I think using music to motivate kids to create a catalyst for conversation is a huge winner. And I'm super excited for you to try that. If you want to check out the curriculum that I was referencing at the end of the episode, you can go to monicagenta.com/180SEL. That's monicagenta.com/180SEL. I'm also going to put a direct link for that in the show notes so you can check out the curriculum and see if it's a good fit for you. But I promise you will love it. I promise your students will love it. And probably the bigger promise is it will save you so much time on your teacher planning. So I hope that you are, quote, buying yourself flowers soon. I hope that you take yourself dancing. I hope that you are willing to hold your own hand and give yourself a high five for being a part of this profession. Because whether you like Miley Cyrus or not, I think we all deserve flowers. And those flowers are in the form of fun times with kids. And those flowers are also in the form of understanding that you have purpose and passion in this profession. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode, but most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.
Thank you.